Hey, Russo here at George Mason University. I'm here today with a colleague of mine, Dr. Daniel Ferguson, who is an assistant professor of early childhood education here with me at George Mason University. And we're going to briefly share about this amazing opportunity coming up this summer. Daniel and I are going to be running a summer study abroad program to Finland. The program runs May 26th to June 11th, 2023. The program focuses on the Finnish education system, as well as sports, fitness, health, and health promotion in Europe. Both Daniel and I will be on the trip, and we're hoping to combine forces to blend education and health and fitness through the summer program. So let me introduce Daniel and then also ask kind of from you, Daniel, what was your interest in putting this program on?
Yeah, thank you, Risto. Finland's been on my radar for quite a while. I would say that, you know, most people are familiar generally with how well Finland has done on PISA tests and things like that, that kind of put it on an international map. But I actually remember my very first semester at Teachers College, we read a book by Pasi Sahlberg, the Finnish educator and researcher. And one of the things that I was really surprised by was the way in which the Finnish education system, while achieving so well on these international tests, in practice, were doing things like delaying the time that they start doing formal reading instruction for young children. So whereas in the United States, often the case is when we want to improve reading scores, we try to start teaching it earlier and earlier. And in fact, it looked like, well, Finland is someone who excels in literacy at an international level, and yet they're doing the opposite of that. There was also like more vacation, more family support and things like that. So kids are in some ways not spending as much time in school and yet getting as much benefit as they could out of it.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I went to that lecture with Pasi Sahlberg when he presented at Teachers College. And yeah, he came in and when his book launched, he did a stopover there, and he shared about a lot. And obviously, like I know, being from Finland, I know a lot about the Finnish education system just by being closer to that. But it's interesting too, like they have 90% of the educators who start in education stay in education for the rest of their careers, versus the U.S. Like we don't have 90% that make it through year one. And they, you know, they have a really set time of like outdoor time. You know, you teach for 45 minutes and then you go outside for 15 minutes and you come back and back and forth. So the systems are really different in certain ways. But the biggest thing that I remember, like what Pasi Sahlberg said in his lecture, was people always ask him, like, why is Finland so good? Like, why is Finland doing so well in international education? When we look at it, and he said, in the 1970s, 80s, and 90s, Finnish researchers traveled to the U.S., and they came home with two luggages filled with research articles, and they implemented the research that was being done in Finland, or being done in the U.S., they put it into action in Finland. And so it's a cool way to transform this research-to-practice gap. You can just take a 9-hour flight to Finland and see it for yourself.
Absolutely. And I mean, and that's the other real reason that I'm excited about this, especially to kind of bring students, because I have had experiences being in other education systems beyond the U.S. system. And anytime you do that and you're kind of can see firsthand a concrete difference in the way that school is run and what kids are allowed to do and what they eat, and how much time they're given to do things, general rules or practices, we often take for granted that those are not across the board something that everybody does. And so as soon as you kind of see any of those kind of like specific concrete details, it just opens your eyes to the possibilities of what education can be.
Yeah.
And I think Finland is a wonderful place for us to provide an eye-opening experience for our students. And you know, you and I have talked too about the kind of connections that we might have between thinking about children's bodies and their minds as being educated or being supported within an education system. Mm-hmm. And so I think with this, with our kind of combined interests, we're able to explore some of that. Well, let me ask you, why don't you give us an overview of the courses that we're going to be talking about in FIM?
Yep. So there's 6 units. So 2 courses, 3 units each. So you have 6 credits. The first class is on the Finnish education system. The other is on physical activity, sports, health, and health promotion. And that takes an international perspective. The courses are a part of they have an international summer school at the University of Jyväskylä. It's gone every single year. And so the classes are actually taught by university faculty. So the person teaching about the Finnish education system is a Finnish professor of education. And the classes will have a diverse group of students from all around the world that either come in small groups or individually just to go into the summer school that we'll be taking part of.
Austin and Risto, you visited the campus and the city of Jyväskylä last year?
Yeah, so I actually went, I went on a 2019 a research sabbatical that I had, and I gave a lecture there. So it was a little while ago, and I went when it's much colder. I planned on going a lot, and obviously the pandemic has kind of slowed that down. But Jyväskylä as a city is really walkable, really bikeable. It's a big university town. It's a major, major education university for specifically health and physical education. It is one of 2 or 3 places in the country that you go to become a physical education teacher. And I'd say about 80 to 90% of PE teachers go through the Jyväskylä program. There's a really big lake right by the university. If you're interested in architecture, Alvar Aalto, it's a really famous Finnish architect, has designed some of the buildings on the campus there. There's a big bike path all around the city that you can take. So really good, healthy, active outdoor city. And if you want to look a little bit more about what that looks like, Daniel and I recorded a video. It's up on YouTube right now that shows you about the program, and then also it finishes off with a video about Jyväskylä, and you can see that video in the notes to the podcast.
All right, great. So one question I often get when students are asking about a different part of the world that you've been to is, what's the food like if they're interested in going? So can I ask you to describe typically what people could expect to be eating if they were at the university or in the city?
Yeah. So some of the food is going to come from the cafeteria that's at the university, which is conveniently subsidized by the Finnish government. So the cost of food when you're there on campus is great. Finland, all from K to 12, all the way through, has a really healthy school lunch program. So the food is healthy. It's local. Helsinki and Jyväskylä are international cities because there's a lot of international students that go to the university. So in and out around the town, there's food from all over the world. But if you go to any restaurant, any food hall in the cafeteria, everything is marked by the dietary restrictions. So if it's gluten-free, vegetarian, vegan, Finland takes that very seriously. It's a really easy country to navigate with dietary restrictions. There's a lot of people who are lactose intolerant, gluten intolerance, all that. So that's one thing you don't have to worry about in Finland for sure.
That's great. So it seems to go hand in hand too with the emphasis on physical activity to have a lot of good food to go with it.
Absolutely.
The second question that I often get from students about a study abroad program is whether there might be scholarships or financial aid that can help to assist with the program fee.
Yeah. So financial aid, just filling out your FAFSA, if you have financial aid left over at any point, or you can defer that to a summer program, You can pay the full program fee with FAFSA money, whether that's a Pell Grant or other aid or loans. The Global Education Office also offers scholarships, and we're going to link to that in the show notes as well. Or you can just type into Google George Mason University Study Abroad Scholarships, and it'll drop you down. I think it's the second link that usually comes up that takes you directly to the scholarship website. And of course, there's other organizations that offer funding, and those are all linked on the Global Education Office website as well.
Great. So maybe now's a good time to share the cost of our program too.
Yep. So the cost, this is kind of how the cost works. If you would be at George Mason as a regular student taking two summer classes on campus at Mason, not traveling abroad, just normal classes, if you take six units, it would cost $3,279 just taking the classes on campus. The cost of this specific program, which includes housing at the university, when we're at UBSKulat, you have about 10 or 11 nights there. Hotels in Helsinki, you have two nights of hotel there. You have ground transportation, so the trains to and from, buses, some of the meals that you're going to be having with the at the university. Some, we have a big ending dinner in Helsinki, and the tuition and fees. So everything included, tuition fees and that, is only $121 more. So the complete cost of the program is $3,400. Now, you still have to buy your flights, but you can modify those to stay in Europe after the program's done. Again, you have the financial aid option if you have that, and the scholarships through the Mason Abroad website. And one thing that I want to note is you don't have to be a Mason student to enroll. It's the same cost for any other university undergraduate. So if you're at North Carolina or Alabama or in a university in California, you can pay $3,400, get that six units of credit to be on this study abroad with us.
Wow. So basically, if I had two goals this summer, one is to take two classes for which I can use my financial aid if I have it, and I wanted to take a trip to Europe, I could do both of those with this program for the cost of the tuition, which I was already expecting to pay, plus a flight there.
Yeah, exactly. And you'd get to spend time with me and you, which should be like the highlight, obviously.
Added value. And the professors at UBSKulat.
Yes, exactly.
You said there's places that you could visit after the program too. Like you wouldn't necessarily have to immediately come back to the U.S. after our 2-week study abroad is over. You could go to another country. You could go to another city if you wanted.
Yep.
And how would you go about it?
Yeah, and that's the benefit of not buying group flights that everybody leaves on the 26th and comes back on the 11th. The program ends on June 11th in Helsinki. That's a Sunday, right? So the mandatory in-person content stops then. You'll still have some asynchronous journals to polish up, some other small things for maybe like a week, depending on how studious you are during your time in UBSKulat. But you can do that from wherever you are in the world. The beginning and end of the program is in Helsinki, which is the capital. And your program fees include the hotel stays on both ends, which are part of the program. So the day we get in, we have a hotel, and then the day before we leave, we have a hotel. And you have one free weekend in UBSKulat during the program, that weekend from the 26th to the 11th. And you can opt to get on a train and go to Helsinki and explore on your own, or you can go to this amazing national park near the university. But as you're traveling for the program, and this would be on your own dime, Helsinki is just a two-hour ferry ride from Tallinn, where that's the capital of Estonia. You can take an overnight ferry to Stockholm, that's the capital of Sweden. And then the Helsinki airport also connects you with direct flights all over. There's some low-cost airlines. Finnair is pretty reasonable. You can go to Vienna or Rome, Berlin, Copenhagen, Oslo. All those you can get to with direct flights from the Helsinki International Airport.
Yeah. So again, if you're a person who is already planning to take two courses, and this would fit in with courses for your electives for your program, and you also wanted to spend some time traveling this summer, this would be a relatively low cost way that you could do both.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I just wanted to remind everyone again that we created a YouTube video that shows a little bit more about what Finland looks like, specifically the city of Jyväskylä. And there's limited spots available for this program too. So we want to encourage everybody to apply early. The official application deadline is March 10th, is that right?
Yeah, March 10th.
But honestly, if everyone could apply earlier than that, it would be advantageous to make sure that you can secure a spot on the trip. It's open to all undergraduates, and we really want to see everyone's application.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Daniel. Everybody, if you are interested, all the notes on how to apply and where to find more information can be found on the podcast notes, or you can look up either one of us through our faculty profiles and email us through there. Thanks.